Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
Heavenly Father, we just want to pray, dear God, right now, dear God, that as we get started today, dear God, that you would move on our behalf, dear God, that you would move and change us, impact us right now, dear God. As we come forth, as we get ready to praise and worship you, dear God, we want to lift your name up. And Heavenly Father, as we preach and continue on this word, we pray, dear God, that you would move. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Somebody say amen. Now listen. I need a lot of noise. We're going to preach like we full. Amen? Amen? All right, all right. And I've been preaching on what I call the mind-heart transfer. And the first question that I was asking as I got into this was, what do we think? What is on our mind? You know what I'm saying? Who do you think you are? That's the question that I ask. Because a lot of times, even though that may be a funny question to some people, a lot of people haven't really thought about that. They think, okay, I do my job, I do this, I do that. But we have to find out who we are, amen? Not only do we have to find out who we are, but we have to find out as believers what and who the Word of God says that we are, amen? And it's very important, because our mind, prior to coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, is jacked up. Somebody say jacked up. Come on, jacked up. Now it's the football season right now. So they used to have before the games where people get blasted and they yell, "He got jacked up." You know what I'm saying? And it was crazy. You know, now the league is actually cutting down on those kind of things. There's not too many people getting jacked up. Matter of fact, somebody got jacked up last week, and in the Seahawks game, and Golden Tate, he got a 21,000 fine for blocking that guy. And I was like, man, that was a clean block in my day when I was playing. So hey, they trying to make sure people are healthy. I mean, hey, we got to make sure people are healthy, but we still got to see some good hits. Amen. Like, those are the times where you rewind the game. You're like, oh my goodness! Like, the whole building gets up, but just like somebody gets hit like that, that is the way that our minds are prior to coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our ways, our thoughts, the things that we think of are so jacked up compared to God's thinking, and we have to actually be reconfigured, transformed, renewed, as the Word of God says, in our mind. Amen? Our minds have to be... The part of being a Christian is surrendering our mind to God's mind, amen? To not having the mind of myself and doing what I want to do, but to do the things that God wants us to do, amen? Right now I talked a lot about the mind. There's a whole bunch of things that I talked about. I asked, where is your mind? Who and what shapes your mind? Is it shaped by the media? Is it shaped by your friends? Is it shaped by, I don't know what? Could it be shaped by your kids? There's some people's minds that are shaped by their kids. And a persecution in our minds. Some of the things that we will face as a believer because of the ways that we think. Amen? But I'm going to go right now today, and I'm going to actually get into it was called mind-heart transfer. And we want to see how our mind has changed to our heart. Amen? Now, there's a quote that I looked up, and I remember when I first started preaching, I always had quotes. I would take quotes for everything, get quotes from Martin Luther King, quotes from whoever else, just to find out, you know what I'm saying, what is going on. And the quote that I have for you guys today, it says, if you want to know where your heart is, somebody say, if you want to know. Say, if you want to know where your heart is, come on. If you want to know your heart is, look to where your mind goes when it wanders. That's interesting, huh? You got to think about it. When your mind starts wondering, when you're just, that's where your heart is. Have you ever had your mind start wondering before? Or like even when you pray, your mind just start thinking of a whole bunch of other things? A lot of times that's where your heart is. You know, and it's for us as believers, we have to become and have the heart of God. Amen. A question that I asked a couple times before is God on your mind enough to change your heart? Is God on your mind long enough to change your heart? Because we got to understand our mind has an effect on how our heart is. Now, we're going to see what the Bible says even about how our heart comes out of our mouth. The things that you have in your heart, it'll come out your mouth. But let's go ahead and look. It says in Proverbs 22:11, it says, "He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend." Proverbs 22:11 again, it says, "He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend." Now, I believe that as we have our heart purified, as we know, God will come closer to us. Now, let me say this. There is no act in which you can actually wash your heart by yourself. You know what I'm saying? You can't clean your heart up by yourself. So the question is, how can our heart be purified? How can our heart be purified? Because man's heart is wicked, right? Man's heart is wicked. But this is why it's so important that, as I spoke on earlier, our mind has to be transformed. When we start thinking differently, like the Bible talks about in Philippians 4:8-9, to think on pure things, think on things that are clean, positive, whatever noteworthy, think on these things, trustworthy, whatever, and I'm paraphrasing right now. But if you look at that, when we start thinking like that, that's who you become. And what you become is part of your heart, amen? Your heart is what you become. Now, how can we tell what somebody's heart is? Does anybody have any answers to that? How can we tell what somebody's heart is? By what they speak, manifestations, the way they act, your heart is displayed in a lot of your actions. Now, let's say somebody's always joking and they're always cutting you up. You know, every time they say, "Oh yeah, oh he ain't nobody, I'm just playing. Like a lot of times, that's where their heart is. They just want to cut people down. Why? Because that's their heart. Their heart is. Still, they have an issue with themselves. And a lot of times, the issue with themselves is still sin. Sin is continuing to eat at their hearts. And until they say, "Hey, man, I'm ready to begin this Christian walk, not just to say a prayer, but to actually believe in my heart," as the scripture says, and I'm going to get there. When you believe in your heart, you're going to say, "Hey, man, I'm going to start doing different things to move towards what I believe." Amen. If you believe something in your heart, you're going to do whatever you can to do whatever you believe. If somebody tells you in your heart, if you believe that, hey, you're going to be a great basketball player, and somebody tells you you're horrible, you're going to prove them wrong. You're going to say, "How can I prove them wrong? How can I?" If they say Hannah plays the drums, in her heart, she knows that she's a drummer, right? Now, if somebody came up to you and was like, "Man, you're not a drummer. You should bang on the bongos with the sticks that you use." Like, if they said something like that, she's like, "No, I know in my heart that I'm a drummer. Not just in my mind, it's in my heart." So the heart is a little bit deeper than your mind. And it's going to take a little bit more renewing of your mind for your heart to be cleaned up. Amen? And your heart to be renewed. Something that as I was getting ready for this scripture or this series, God said something to me, man, that just shocked me when I was studying. And it said in Proverbs 4:23, it said, "Guard your heart." Right? Now I was like, why would we guard our heart? Now let's just think about some of the things we guard in life. What are some things we guard? Come on back there. Tell me, what are some things you guard? My children. I guard my children. Oh, okay. What, your grandchildren. There we go. Your food. Yeah, some people guard their food because people take their food, right? Now, if you didn't have that problem, you might not guard your food. You, whatever. You guard your money. Your possessions. Your house. You lock your house, right? You don't. We don't really, for the most part, in the United States, not too many people in the I guess I would say, in the urban city keep their door unlocked or just keep it wide open, right? You know what I'm saying? We don't do that. Even in the country, you might go somewhere. Well, you have an excuse then. You have, because, but if you did, you would lock it, right? Okay. Now, I'm not going to tell y'all where she lived, neither. Amen. But when you guard something, it's for a reason. Not only do we guard things, we get insurance on things to extra guard them, right? That's the only reason we have insurance, is to guard the things that we have, to guard our house, to guard our cars, our family, our lives, our health. We get insurance, and it's crazy, man. Insurance makes a lot of money. I'll just tell you this. It makes a lot of money for if something happens, right? Like when you pay insurance over and over and over, and if nothing happens, guess what? You just paid insurance over and over. Now, there is actually somebody that told me that you could pay insurance to yourself that I'm trying to still find out about, because that will work. Because, I mean, just think about it. How much you pay for your insurance? You might pay $100 for a car a month, but that adds up after mandatory payments that you have to make. Amen? But we do all that to guard things. And as I was praying, God kept saying, guard your heart, guard your heart. And I was like, wow, why should we guard our heart? Let's find out. Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. All right? And I want to go to the Amplified version of that as well. Proverbs 4:23. And it says in the Amplified, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. Somebody say vigilance. Now, vigilance means with all that you have, right? When you're vigilant about something, you're not stopping. It's not, you know, sometimes we might guard things for a little bit, but then after a while we get tired, we sit down and say, hey, man, I already did. No, vigilance means keep on going with all vigor. Without, like, I can't stop. I have to guard this. My life's purpose is to guard my heart. That's what this scripture is saying. Guard your heart. It says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. And above all that you guard, so above everything else that you guard, guard your heart. Right? Because it says, for out of it flow the springs of life. The other scripture said the issues of life. It's actually very interesting. When you think about your heart, a lot of issues come from your heart. Right? If you have a hatred problem, it's an issue from your heart. If you have a love problem, it's an issue from your heart. Now, let's say you love people, it's an issue from your heart. It comes from your heart. So your heart determines a lot of the way that you act and react. Somebody say act and react. Action and reaction comes from your heart. Amen. But the Bible says that we must guard our heart. What should we guard our hearts from? That's something that we have to ask ourselves. What do we guard our hearts from? When it say guard your heart, I mean, you know, even when we got armed trucks that get the money from the bank, right? Now, they're armors, but there's certain people that they let go and get the money. They have to get the money. There's certain people that they let get in. So there's sometimes we may have certain things that we say, that's all right. I don't need a guard from that. Not even knowing that that's messing up our heart the most. The Bible says it's the small foxes that were eating up the what was it in the Bible, Mom? Spoiling the vines, the small foxes, the ones that they thought wasn't going to harm nothing. You know, the small foxes that if your chickens was out, they're not really going to catch the chickens. They just small foxes. Sometimes we let those little small things into our heart. And as time goes on, it's like ants. You guys see ants, right? When they working. Now, I went and played paintball. That was pretty fun. But when we was paintballing, I saw hills, ant hills, about this high. And they were like, don't touch that. Because if you touch that, you're going to have problems. And these ants just built these hills from I don't know what it was from, but they just built a whole bunch of hills of dirt, of wood that they had. And it was their territory. But these ants continued to work at it. And it might have been termite ants. But while we were out there, they were like, do not touch that or you have a problem. But those ants, because they were so consistent, like if one ant is working, I heard an ant can pick up almost 500 times its weight when it's moving stuff. And that ant keeps on going. But these little things that we let in our heart because we don't guard our heart begins to deteriorate your heart. It begins to make you upset so faster because you got this thing in your heart still that you haven't got fixed. Amen? So when we guard our heart, what we have to guard it from is the ways of the world. The world's ways. Now, we have all come from the ways of the world. One thing I've been doing, I keep running into Muslims out there as we share the gospel. And sinlessness, the only one that was sinless was Jesus. Everybody else sinned. They all were born into the world of sin, in iniquity, in the ways of the world. So the ways of the world is not hard to find. We can find the ways of the world if we don't get into our word enough. Amen. But we have to guard our heart from the ways of the world. So how do we do that? We're going to find out. But we're also going to find out some of the ways of the world that we actually need to guard our hearts from. Amen. Above everything else, guard your heart. Everybody say that. Above everything else, guard your heart. Let's go to Mark chapter 7, verse 14. And we're going to look at man's heart. Somebody say man's heart. Or a woman's heart. And when the Bible say man's heart, a lot of time, it was talking about mankind. We're going to read 7, verse 14 through 23, I believe. Yep, through 23. Now, I'm starting at verse 14. You can actually go ahead and read before that. But I wanted to get straight to the point on what I had to say today. And it says, when he had called all the multitudes to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. So Jesus didn't just say, listen to what I'm saying. He says, understand what I'm about to say. So let's see what Jesus had to say. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he has entered a house away from when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. Now, I always see that in the Bible. A lot of times, that's the good thing about being a disciple of God. We see the disciples, they were always around Jesus. Sometimes I say this, a lot of times we might hear a word from God, but we might not understand it the first time he said it. So we see the disciples, and some people will be like, man, were they stupid or something? Like, how come they didn't understand what he was saying? But having the ability to say, Jesus, man, I didn't, can you break that down for me a little bit more, man? Because I heard what you said, but I'm trying to make sure I understand. That's a great thing that they had. Amen? A relationship they had. And we can do the same thing. When we do not understand the word of God, what we can do is ask God to give us clear understanding. Amen. We have that kind of relationship with our Father. So we pray, dear God, okay, God, I didn't understand what he said. What did you say? And spend time and just sit still and hear what the Word of God says and hear what God says. Or, as I like to say, read around it. Some people got some funky theology because they take one scripture and they take that one scripture and they make a whole church out of it. You know what I'm saying? So you go through the whole scripture and you find this scripture that Judas hung himself, and you make a, hey, that's the, we must hang ourselves. And what's crazy is that happens, and that's what we call cults, because they have taken a scripture but not taken it in context. Or a lot of times people will take Christianity, but they don't take the full context of it. And we know that a lie always has a little bit of truth sprinkled in, right? There's some truth in some lies, or people won't believe what you're lying about. But let's go ahead and see what this actually says. It said, verse 18, so he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, somebody say heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Somebody say evil thoughts. Now, your evil thoughts do not come from just your mind. That's something that we have to understand. They come from your heart. Somebody that has an evil heart, they're always going to have evil thoughts, because that's where their heart is. It also says adulteries, they come from their heart. They don't just come from a mind. Fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and all evil, and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. A lot of times, we see that the heart is what defiles a man. So somebody will say, how does a heart defile a man? Because your heart is born in iniquity. Your heart is really what needs to be born again. Not just your mind. Your heart is the main thing that needs to be changed. Amen? Because God wants to enter into your heart. Now, it's not talking about the artery heart that we have. You know what I'm saying? When the Bible says the heart, they are not talking about that pumping thing that you have. But when we think about our heart, it's the very core of our being. That is the heart. Amen? Let's go ahead and look and see what else it says about the heart. So we know that the heart of man is wicked. Come on, everybody say, the heart of man is wicked. So how do we get our heart to be right with God? That's the question that we have to continually ask, and that's the question that we are on a course to try to find out. Let's go ahead first. Let's see what our heart actually may speak, if it could speak. Amen? And my question is, while we go into that, does our heart speak? Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 through 37. Matthew 12, verse 35 through 37. And it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart, as it said, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account on it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, something that was interesting was it went from the things that somebody does will show what kind of heart he has, right? A good man, if you want to be a good man, you have to have a good heart. Out of the good treasure, his heart, it says, brings forth good things. out of the evil, a evil heart brings forth evil things. If we look at that, so the way the things that you do show whether you're good or bad in your heart. Now, there may be people that are still may not have given their life to God, but sometimes we'll say, man, he has a good heart. Why? Because he has glimpses, and we're not going to say his heart, that's all he needs, because he's still, there's still some stuff in him that needs to be cleaned out for him to come to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But there's times we might say, hey, man, that person had a good heart. Oh, wow, they always help somebody when their car gets broke down. Like today, there was a lady whose car got stuck in the middle of the road, and I went and tried to park, turn around, and run across the street to go help her, but there's somebody else that already did it. Now, most of the time, we'll say, man, that person had a good heart. Because most people are just going to leave you, right? They'll leave you in the middle of the street and honk at you, flick you off. And that's not a good heart. That's an evil heart, by the way. But when they do those things, it's because out of their heart, we see what goes on. Amen? But it also said, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So when it said evil comes out of your heart if you're an evil person, or good comes out of your heart if you're a good person, the way that it comes out is by the things that we say. Not only just by the things that we say, but it comes out by the things that we say. If I'm always speaking negative thoughts, if I'm always speaking things that are not pleasing, that are not helping, that's because, like I said earlier, my heart is not right. Sometimes when you're around negative people, you could be the most positive person there, but they're just going to stay negative. You can't change negative people all the time, right? Negative people, everything is negative. You do something good, man, why'd you put it on the left side? You could have put it on the right side. You know, I'm left-handed. It's easier for me to get to it with my left hand if it's on the right side. I mean, like, everything they do is negative. You're like, man, I can't stand negative people. I'll just tell you that. I hate when people complain. I just don't like it. That's one of my, as they say, pet peeves, negative people. People that want to kill your dreams, say you can't do it. I just can't be around negative people. I tell my wife all the time, I can't be around negative people. So if you're going to be around me, please don't be negative. Have a positive attitude. Even if you're telling me there's something that I might have to correct, that's not always a negative thing. That could be a positive thing. But when people were like, man, I don't know, man. Hannah, you want to, I don't think we could do that, man. Like, when you got negative people around you, it makes you negative. Amen. It drains your battery. Just think of it like this. Your battery starts full. If you got too much negative on you, it dies. The battery dies. The negative energy, it takes a lot more energy than a positive if you got more people on the negative side of you. So we want to have people on the positive side. Amen. And a lot of that has to do with their heart. I'm going to go to Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 14. And this whole thing has some things to do with the heart as well. Proverbs 3 in this is one of my favorite scriptures. We'll get there in a second. It says Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 14. It says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Okay, look, when it say heart keep my commandments, it's going a little bit further than your flesh. It's going a little bit further than keeping commandments. When you think about commandments, like most of the time, let's just say we have laws now. We really don't have too many commandments that they say, this is a commandment. But let's say when you're at a light that's red, you're commanded to stop, right? Now, in your person, or actually in your body, you may stop, but if somebody's heart is not keeping it, they're like, man, I should have just went. I could have went, right? It's red. I'm going to still go anyway. And as your heart continues to fester on that, that's why some people run red lights. They know it's pure red. But they've been at the red light before, and they're like, man, this is stopping me, man. I'm going to keep on, because it started in their heart. It started bubbling, amen? We know a lot of people, before they go do something wrong, their heart begins to bubble, right? Their heart begins to get pumping and be like, oh, man, if that person, like before anybody commits murder, let's just talk about this. They begin to fester on it, right? And most of the time, people don't just go shoot somebody right after something happens, right? It's when they get around, even they get around other negative people and be like, yeah, man, you should go let that person know. You give them a piece of your mind. And then you're like, yeah, yeah, I should go give them a piece of my mind. Matter of fact, I should give them my whole mind. You know what I'm saying? He can have a whole pie. You know, you just start thinking, and it's you start getting festered up, getting, and then what happens is they put music on to continue that mode. Like, oh, man, I'm about to go do this. And what happens is their heart was already there. We see that, oh, man, that's good. We see that in the Bible, Jesus said it's not a man that commits adultery. That's not the only person that sins, but it's the one that in his heart commits adultery, right? It said you have already sinned because in your heart you have done it. So a lot of times the way that we do our heart actually proceeds the way that we act. Do you see that? Because I know there's situations where we're going through so much and we just wait. Your heart is getting weighed down. Your heart is getting weighed down and you can act. You can react in the wrong way or the right way. The way you act and react shows where your heart is. So it says, but let your heart keep my commandments. Somebody say heart. This goes deeper than just the way that you move, just the way that you, like you can walk around, but you might not be, your heart might not be in it. That's why some of us go to jobs and our heart's not in it, right? We just do it because we have to do something, but our heart's not in it. So are we excited about it? You wake up and say, yes, I get to go to my job. 8 hours. I love it. You know, unless you're doing something that you really love doing, you're like, man, my heart's not really in this thing. But God said, make sure your heart is in keeping his commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Somebody say tablet of your heart. That's kind of crazy. Just like they got the new things they call, like, they got the iPads, but now they call them tablets, right? Now, these things can store so many things. And by the way, the iPad is the best tablet. But if you want to try those other ones, it was funny. I went to we have right down the steps from my studio, we have a coffee shop. And I asked one guy, I was like, hey, man, what do you think about that tablet right there? He was like, this is horrible. They don't have enough apps, you know. So I was just like, oh, okay, well, I won't mess with those things. Because they cost less. But it's like, Anyway, they can store so many things. Your tablets have so many things on them. So when we think about it, your heart is almost like a hard drive. It can have these tablets. You can call it what you want. You have an iPad in your heart, right? But what's on that iPad? It tells you to keep. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. Christians, we have to listen to this. Truth, what is truth to us? It has to be in the tablets of our hearts. When it's not in the tablets of our hearts, we can say, hey, man, this, I don't know. I don't really know if that was true. Because when something is in your heart, like, I'm living for God. I'm not going, there's nowhere else that I have to go. That's in my heart, right? Now, somebody that doesn't have that in their heart, they come to church and they say, oh, that's a great thing. They don't have it in their heart because they say, hey, but there got to be other things out there. There got to be something else. That's their mind is messed up because their heart is not sure. But when you have it in your heart, your mind understands, okay, man, my heart said, I'm not leaving. So your mind is going to say, I'm not leaving. And we actually, even when we look at the natural body, your heart pumps to the brain for the brain to get the energy that it needs to actually move, to actually, you know what I'm saying, function, operate. So when we look at that in this spiritual sense, God wants your heart to fix your brain. And the only way that can be fixed is if you have God in you. Amen? Amen. Let's go. It says, write them on the tablet of your heart, verse 4, and it says, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. We're at Proverbs 3, I'm sorry. It just moved away. It says, you will have favor in both what? In the sight of who? God and man. Okay. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your, come on, somebody say it.
Heart.
We keep seeing them say heart, not just your mind. See, some of us, we only trust God with our mind. So when we get into jams, we begin to say, I'm trusting God in my mind, but I don't know if this is really going to work. This is why the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all he does, because your heart is not stable yet. Your heart is not stable. You still haven't figured, am I going to live for God or am I going to try to find something else that could be better? And a lot of people, they grow up in church and they like, man, is this all that God has to offer? Because they don't have that personal relationship with him. They just do the rituals and go to church and do all the things. But they look and say, the world got it going on. They're a double-minded person. Their heart is unstable. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So when it says that, your heart is more than just understanding. Your understanding, now we live in a natural world, right? This is not a spiritual world that we are in. The spirit does interact in this world, but I'm just saying we live in a fleshly or carnal world right now. So the things that we understand are not going to be what God understands, right? We can never understand God in his fullness. We can't even understand how the Trinity works, besides that there's a Father, there's a Son, and the Holy Ghost. They have different roles, but we can't say how they're one, because we're like, man, the Trinity one? Three things that are one? Like, we don't understand that. In the spirit, it says a husband and wife, they're one. In the natural, we still think it's two, right? Because that's our own understanding. But when we lean to God's heart, we trust God with all our heart, and in doing that, we don't lean on our own understanding. That's the way that God wants us to be. And it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's what it looks like when you have a heart after God. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Somebody say, do not be wise in your own eyes. A lot of us, we think we know it all, right? Can't nobody tell me nothing. I know it, the ins and outs. Look, man, I was the one that wrote the book, right? I've been there, I've done that. Like, when you are wise in your own understanding, nobody can tell you anything. God can't tell somebody that thinks they are wise in their own understanding anything, because they have an attitude that says, hey, look, look, rookie, I've been there. I'm a veteran. I know the whole ins and out. Like, I don't need you to tell me. That's the way that we act when we are wise in our own understanding. And your own understanding, as we said in verse 5, is something that's moved by the world that we live in. But it says, do not be wise in your own understanding. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Somebody say corrects. just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and a man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. Now, I like what it talked about. It talked about a father. And the heart of a father is never to, of a good father. Somebody say good father. It's never a good father. But it's never to hurt their kids, right? Yeah, I got two little kids right now. Three, the third one is on the way. And the third one needs to wait a little bit. Amen. But with my kids, I give them chances and chances to do the right thing. And I tell them, man, I don't want to whoop you. I don't really like doing it. But if I don't teach them now, they're going to be a lot to deal with when I get older, right? This is why you have to train your children up in the ways of righteousness. You can't, if you don't train your kids up, by the time they're 15, it's too late to start training, right? You say, hey, man, hey, I told you to clean your room. Like, you could say that as they're growing up and they understand, okay, I should go clean my room. But at the age of 15, if you tell them to go clean their room and they're like, man, you ain't never told me to clean my room. Man, I ain't cleaning my room. Like, that's a little bit too late to start trying to retrain some of these kids. Because a lot of times these kids that are 15, they're bigger than the parents nowadays, right? So they're like, man, look, man, I'm bigger than you now. What are you going to do? But that's because they didn't train them up. It's very important to see that God, he wants to train us up. God will correct you. See, a lot of people think when they get in God, they can do whatever they want. Even pastors that may be mega pastors, you got to understand there's going to be some times where God has to correct you. Because if there's no times that God is correcting you, you are moving in your own wisdom, in your own understanding. You are wise in your own eyes. But God is going to continually correct. His word is going to continually correct us. Amen? That's a part of being a believer. We have to be corrected. Something that is in the Psalms, and this is something that I pray a lot, man, is God created me a clean heart. And it also says, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now, why do I pray that? I just want my heart to be right in God. Like, every day I pray, that's something that I pray. It's like automatic now. God, clean my heart. God, created me a clean heart. God, I want to be pure in your sight. Why? Because, God, I want to have the heart after you. Amen? We see that. And I'm going to talk about David in just a second. I'll see how much time I got. I got about 10 minutes. But David, he consistently wanted to have his heart clean. He went out of his way to say, God, make sure my heart is clean, God. God, I don't want my heart to be messed up. I don't want my heart to be just an evil heart. God, I want to be right and in right standing with you. And that's something that we have to continually say. God, let my heart be like your heart. God, let my heart show that I love you. That's what I want my heart to show. Even when I'm having a bad day, God, let my heart show that I love you. And how do we do that? How do we show that that our heart is continuing to say, God, I submit my heart? There's something that I look at, man, the scripture, man, is powerful when it... When we start searching the word of God for different things, he begins to show us so many different things. But another way for us to get our heart shaped right and get it in the right position first is giving our heart to God. And after that, it's understanding that, as Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of whom we must give an account. So when I read this scripture, the word of God is going to get at your heart. That's why some people read the word of God, they get angry. Some people hear the word of God preached, they get upset because their heart is getting pricked. Their heart is getting stabbed at. Their heart is continuing to get jabbed at. Their heart, when the word of God goes forth, it's going to touch your heart. Whether you are saved, unsaved, you may not understand it all, but your heart is going to be touched by the word of God. So when the word of God goes forth, when we speak the word of God, God actually said his word will not return void, but it will go out to accomplish what he has purposed it for. So when we preach the word of God, when we even read the word of God, it begins to change things. And I'm going to talk about later, I think next time I get up and preach, I'm going to continue on this thing called the heart. But as we go out, as we continue to let this word of God impact us, I just want us to continually say, God created me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. As Psalms 51:10 says, creating me a clean heart. As I said, next time I get up, I'm going to continue to preach on this, on a clean heart. And we're going to see how David, his heart was clean, and how God looks at people. Amen? Because a lot of times, even in church, I don't know where the suits came from. But a lot of times we get dressed up to go to church, right? We get dressed up to go to church. We want to look our best. But God says he's not even looking at the outside of you. What is God looking at? He's looking at our heart. Now, that does not mean that it's wrong to get dressed up to go to church, right? But even as sometimes we start putting, I know in certain generations, if you don't wear a suit to church, you can't go to church. But God never said wear a suit to go to church. You know, that's stuff that we've made up. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. I got a suit on today while I'm saying this. But we have to understand that God looks at our hearts. Amen. There might be somebody that has raggedy clothes, and God said, man, that's the one that I want. We see David, as we're going to read next time I get up, his appearance wasn't what every man wanted or even any person thought a man should look like. Jesus' appearance wasn't what we were like, oh, Jesus was beautiful. Like it said, Jesus was not, there was nothing special about the way that Jesus looked. He just looked like one of those normal persons, right? He didn't look like me. You know, I'm just playing. But Jesus, there was nothing special about the way that he looked, but it was his heart. And I want us to remember that when we go through life, God is not worried about how we look, because we could dress things up. We tend to dress our hearts up even when they're wicked, even when they're messed up. But God wants us to say, man, God, I give you my heart. I want them to give you my heart so that you can do and move in me the way that you want to move. Amen. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray to God that this word will go forth and continue to impact, continue to change, continue to erect us. Dear God, as we continue on this mind-heart transfer, let our heart, dear God, be changed, dear God, and let therefore change our mind. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Remember to invite somebody to come to church. Amen. You got people in your apartment that's just waiting for you to say, come to church with me. Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that he has called us to be.